Well, good morning. We are thankful that you're here this morning with us to worship the Lord. We're thankful for those who are joining us online. And they may be more likely to be wearing pajamas right now than us. But we're thankful you're here worshiping the Lord with us. This is a great time to focus on Him. Well, I had a wonderful week this week. I was able to go back to Oklahoma and celebrate my grandpa's 90th birthday on Wednesday. And it was just a huge blessing to be able to see him and to celebrate that life event with him. And so I called Steve Downs a couple weeks ago when we knew we were going to be going back there. And I said, "Hey, Steve," I go, "can you preach on Father's Day?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And he has like five kids, so I figure he has tons of stories, you know, and material he could use for that. But Steve has a love for the Lord. He's a great Bible teacher. And the best thing about Steve is he's married to Jenny. You know, we can't figure out why she married him, but I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. And loves the Lord, loves the Word. And one of the things I've noticed about Steve, and he didn't know I was going to say this, so is he loves his kids. I just see that, you know, in times I've seen him interact with his kids. And one of the things I've learned from him is he's always saying, I love you to his kids. And I'm like, I need to do that more. I need to say, I love you to everybody. And so, Steve, I love you. But it's just a great privilege. I've been looking forward all week to him coming and bringing God's word to us this morning. So let's welcome Steve Downs as he comes and delivers the word of God to us.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. I appreciate that very much. Well, good morning, everybody. You know, yesterday my wife, she screeched at me and she said, "Steve, are you listening to anything I'm saying?" And I stopped and I thought for a moment, you know, that's a really weird way to start a conversation. Happy Father's Day. So I was awarded Father of the Year 12 years in a row, and I have the shirt to prove it. Dad of the Year. That's right. You know, as fathers, we're known for a lot of things. We're known for being a protector. We're known for being providers. But above all else, fathers are known for their dad jokes. Anyhow, happy Father's Day. It is a privilege to be with you here for Father's Day. So Pastor Matt did ask me to speak on parenting. Not because I have it figured out. Our five children can testify to that, right? We are making mistakes each day, and we're still trying to learn. But rather, because the Word of God is sufficient and able so that every man and woman can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that all of us can be dads and moms of the year. The Word of God is sufficient so that you can know how to raise your child, how you can shepherd your child and have them grow up in the Lord, and so that you can know what to do when you are at a loss, when you don't know what to do, the Word of God. But before we get started, I just want to have a word for those that are not parents. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, great. I'm glad I brought my cell phone because I'm going to check out Facebook. Tommy, I saw that. Put the phone down. Okay? If you're not a parent, the truths that we're going to cover today also apply to you. If you are a grandparent, if you're an uncle, if you're an aunt, if you're an Awana leader, if you are ministering to somebody, if you are shepherding somebody, if you're sharing your faith with somebody, the truths that we're going to learn today also apply. The only difference is we're specifically applying it to the parenting situation. But if you use just a little imagination, you can see I can just change the word to parent from parent to disciple maker. And from child to disciplee, the truths are still just as true. So have you ever been at a loss in a parenting situation? Have you ever been clueless, I don't know what to do? frustrated, angry, depressed, hurt? Do you ever ask yourself, why didn't my kid come with some instruction manuals? I checked when my daughter was born. There was no written manual with her. But praise be to God, he gave us a manual, Emmanuel, and a manual 2,000 years before that with the Word of God. The Word of God is our manual for how to raise and shepherd our children. So your kids did come with an instruction manual. They just came many, many years. It came many, many years before that. And above all else, the Word of God, when we come to shepherding, the Word of God calls us to be shepherds of our children, spiritual shepherds to your children. As parents, your primary first role is a pastor. It's a minister. And just as Pastor Matt is concerned with the spiritual hearts of the people of Shoreline, we as parents need to be first and foremost concerned with the spiritual hearts of our children above all else. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we look at verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 9. As we turn to this passage is one of the greatest calls of worship, the greatest calls to know God and to worship God and to have relationship with God in the entire Bible. And verse 4 is what we call the great Shema statement, the call to worship the one triune God. Come and let's worship this great God. He'd just gone over how God had redeemed them from Israel, how he'd redeemed Israel from Egypt, how he saved them, right? There was a history of that. And he says, come, let's worship this one true and great God in verse 4. In verse 5, it speaks to the reality of true heart worship, the reality of what a relationship with this one true and triune God is, total heart commitment, total inner conformity to him. And verses 5 and 6 continue and emphasizes that this is about heart worship. It is about heart change. It is about heart transformation as the Word of God is written in our hearts. Language that Ezekiel 36 uses when he talks about transformation, heart transformation. And in the middle of this awesome call to worship and be in relationship and be redeemed by the God of all creation, verse 7 starts talking about parenting. And here's the point. Parenting is not isolated from the redemptive purposes of God. Parenting is a major part of the redemptive purposes of God. You know, if you were to say, what is the foundation to the New Testament? What's the answer? Who's a Bible scholar here? Raise your hand if you're a Bible scholar. Okay, Pastor Matt, what's the foundation of the New Testament? It starts with the letter O. Old Testament, that's right. The Old Testament. And if you were to ask an Old Testament scholar, what is the backbone, the foundation to the entire Old Testament? You want to know what the answer is going to be? The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And the first five books of the Bible is driving to one particular book. Do you want to know what one particular book that is? Deuteronomy, the book we're in today. Everything is driving to this section, to this book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy then is driving to the very high point of God's cosmic plans for the universe. His redemptive purpose in creating a kingdom for himself, a kingdom of heart worshipers that are redeemed by Christ and saved by his grace. And parenting is a part of that. Parenting is a part of that. And I call that redemptive parenting. Redemptive parenting. Redemptive parenting is a part of God's redemptive purpose in creating a kingdom of worshipers redeemed by Jesus and transformed by his grace. I put a little definition on the board for you there. So here's the definition of what I see redemptive parenting. It's God using you to shepherd and transform your child's heart while God shepherds and transforms your heart by your child at the same time. And if you grasp that definition, you get the sermon. You get the message today. So write that down. That is it. That's the sermon in one sentence. God is using you to transform and shepherd your child's heart while at the same time God is transforming and shepherding your heart. So let's look at three keys to redemptive parenting so that you and your child can become greater worshipers of God and worship our great God. Before we do, let's actually read this passage that we just did a 3,000-foot overview of. Let's read it together. Chapter 6, verses 4, starting with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The first key to redemptive parenting is redemptive parenting is done by shepherding your child's heart. Let's look at the flow of the passage in chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We saw verses 4 through 6 is a call to what? Heart worship, heart transformation. And then verse 7 is taking the contents, what Moses just told about you. He says, now you take that and you take that to your children. It's to be taught, discipled, and shepherded in your child, i.e., what God wants of you. What does God want? What is God's will for your life? Heart transformation, total heart conformity, total heart worship. That's God's stamp for your life. So what's God's will then for my child's life? The exact same thing. Total heart worship, total heart transformation. What is true of you is true of your child. You see, God's goal for parenting is not good grades. God's goal for parenting is not well-behaved children. God's goal for parenting is not that they be successful as a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher. It's not that they do really well in sports. It's not that they be happy and go to Disneyland and have great memories. Those are all wonderful things, and I want all those for your children. But that is not God's goal for parenting. God's goal for your children is total heart worship, total heart transformation. God wants it. The Bible declares it. Jesus died for it. The Spirit's working for it. And we need to be about it. God's goal for your children is that they would know Him and worship Him, and they would follow Him and be transformed by Him. And this goal takes place where? Where does it take place? In the heart. So we need to be about what? Shepherding our child's heart. We need to be about addressing spiritual issues. We need to keep that in the forefront of our mind. When our children blow it, and our children are sitting down on the couch or sitting down in the room or whatever it is in the back of the car, and you're about to yell at them, you need to time yourself out and remember, what is God's goal in this moment? It is not to give them the fourth degree, right? Third degree, and just let them have you. This is about shepherding their heart. That's what we need to remember parenting is about, shepherding their heart. Now, have you ever thought and wondered, what was my kid thinking? What were you doing? Why did you do that? And usually you get some answer that doesn't make any sense. What's the most common answer in my house? Why did you do that? What's the answer you get, parents?
I don't know.
I don't know.
And to be honest, half the time, I don't think they do know. And half the time, they'll give you an answer, and that answer is not really true because they don't even know their own hearts. Oh, only if God would provide them a shepherd to help them shepherd their hearts. Parents, he's provided them in you. See, why? You want to know the answer to that question? Why? I'll give you the answer every single time. I don't care what your kid does. Did he just lie to you? Did he just hit the sister? Did he just take the toy? Did he just sneak out and go for a whatever it is they do when they sneak out? You want to know the answer? Why did you do that? What were you thinking? What's the answer? My heart. My heart. My heart is wicked. My heart is sinful. The Bible tells us from start to finish, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that it is the heart that is the mission control. You do things because of your heart. Everything you do, everything you say, every deed every motive you have, every thought you come from, every desire, everything comes from your heart. Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45 says, from your hearts come motives, thoughts, and behaviors. You do good things because of your heart. You do bad things because of your heart. You know, I remember a common occurrence in our house is we have siblings and we fight. And a common occurrence sometimes happens regarding the bedroom, and there's a fight in the bedroom. And two of my daughters are fighting over the bedroom. And this is my room. No, it's my room. You stay on your side. I stay on my side. That's my seat. No, that's my. And they're fighting. And you know the issue here? The issue here is not an issue of bedroom space. The issue here is not an issue of getting a bigger room. It's not an issue of learning how to share. What's the issue? The issue is an issue of heart worship. It's an issue of learning to love others over ourselves. It's an issue of learning to deny oneself. It's an issue of a heart that is able and willing to pick up their cross daily, deny themselves, and follow Christ. It's an issue to learn how to be content in all circumstances. It is an issue of worship. Every issue is always a heart issue. Every issue is always a spiritual issue. And so if you're not shepherding your child's heart, you're not parenting. If you're not addressing spiritual issues of the heart, you're not parenting. You're maybe managing behavior. You may be acting like a policeman. You might be being a cheerleader. You might be being a problem solver. But you are not parenting. It's not enough to address external issues. It's not enough to address external behaviors of our child. It's not enough to give them just a set of rules and make sure they follow them. It's not enough to parent surface issues. We need to get deep down to the heart issues. I think of a teenage boy who may have found his way to an adult website. It's not enough to cut the Wi-Fi and tell him, don't do that again. We need to address the heart of lust that caused him to go out and seek that website. We need to address the heart. We don't want to be putting Band-Aids on cancerous tumors, because that teenage boy will find a way to live out the desires of his heart. And my fear for many is that they won't go out and do it until they're out of the house. And you've lost the opportunity now to shepherd the heart. And that heart of lust that's always been there has only been managed and controlled. And now for the first time, it's free. What kind of child have we produced? We need to be shepherding our children's heart. There's no better picture of a failure to shepherd a child's heart when Jesus talked about a whitewashed tomb. What's a whitewashed tomb? A whitewashed tomb is a pretty gravestone in a sense, right? It's beautiful on the outside, but what's on the other side of that tomb? rotting flesh. I don't want your children. God doesn't want your children to be rotting flesh on the inside and looking great on the outside. Let's go ahead and clean the inside of that cup. And so the outside then will also be clean as we adjust and shepherd the heart. Okay, you got me. You got me, Steve. Okay, how do we shepherd our child's heart? With a belt? No. Okay, that may be part of it. Don't get me wrong, right? How do we do it? Well, we need to show them their heart. We need to show them their sin. We need to show them their need for a Savior. And above all else, we need to show them the Savior. Paul Tripp, I adopted, he has something called Four Steps to Shepherding a Child's Heart. And I kind of adopted this, kind of modified it. But here's four steps to shepherding a child's heart that might be helpful to you. This is not the only way to shepherd a child's heart, but this has been a helpful guideline for me, and I hope it helps you. First of all, when they blow it, show them their heart. Show them their heart. Ask them questions. What were you feeling? In that moment, what were you thinking? What was going on? What was the emotions you were feeling? And I was mad. I was angry. So you're showing them what's going on in there because they don't know. Why did you hit your brother?
I don't know.
What were you feeling? He knows the question, right? What was going on? I was angry. I was mad. I don't know. I was just mad. Why were you mad? I don't know. Well, what did you do? Well, I hit him. So that's the second question. Show them their sin, right? The first step is show them their heart. Second is show them their sin by asking them, well, what did you do? And calling it out. Well, I hit him. Well, that's a sin, brother. That's a sin, son. And then third, we connect that action, that sin, to the heart. You see, son, you hit your brother. You sinned because of your heart. You sinned because you were angry inside. It wasn't because your brother took your toy. We don't blame our sins on other people. Your problem, son, is your heart. You didn't hit him because he stuck his tongue at you, because you've seen the L, right? You didn't hit him because he went like that. You hit him because your heart moved you to do that. And you're showing him the idol. And it's going to take some work to do that. You show them what it is you're worshiping. You felt that he was assaulting you. Your kingdom, the thing that you were worshiping was being removed from you. And so you went after him. You show them his heart. And then the fourth step in shepherding a child's heart is you show them their need for the Savior. You show them their need for forgiveness, their need for redemption, their need for him. Where the need for him and Christ's grace and Christ's forgiveness and the Christ's ability to transform the heart. You bring them to the Savior. You show them the one that is worthy of worship. The first step in redemptive parenting is we need to shepherd our children's hearts. The second step in redemptive parenting is being used as an instrument in God's hand. Redemptive parenting is done by being an instrument in God's hand. This is the second point, is being an instrument in God's hand. Now, I have some wonderful news for you. You ready for some wonderful news? Yes. Okay, good. Here's the news for you. I want to release a burden that you've been carrying for quite some time. You are not responsible for your child's change of heart. You are not responsible to change your child's heart. I'll say that again. You are not responsible to change your child's heart. God is. God is the one who changes your child's heart. It is something He does. It is something He has promised. It is something a part of the redemptive, supernatural work of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's what was promised in Ezekiel 36. It's what's talked about in Romans 2, verse 29. It's what's described in 2 Corinthians 3, 18. This is all by God. This is all by God's grace. He is the one who transforms us from one degree of glory to another. It is a work of God, not me. Woo! right? Amen. So going back to our daughters fighting over the bedroom, I remember we were at a loss. We're sitting there fighting over it. We realize now the issue is not an issue of space. It's an issue of what? They're fighting with each other. It's not an issue of learning to share. It's not an issue of learning how to manage a bedroom. What's the issue? What's the issue? The heart. Okay, great. And then my wife gets to me and she says, Steve, so how do we get them to love each other? It's an issue of the heart. It's about loving others before yourself. How do we get them to love each other? And what's the answer? We don't. Woohoo! Burden relieved. I don't. You don't. She doesn't. God does. God does. God does it by His grace, by His work. However, we are called to be His tools. We are called to be His instruments of grace. We are called to be His ministers of grace, where He affects change, to reveal to them their sin, and more importantly, or just as importantly, to reveal to them the person and work of Jesus Christ that changes their hearts. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You just talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. There is a constant going after, constant opportunities. You are constantly to be looking for opportunities to share about the grace that is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be about. I am constantly, like a shark, looking for blood, but I'm not looking to devour. I'm looking to edify. I'm always looking for opportunities to minister grace. When we're walking, when we're lying down, when we're getting up, I am a minister. You are a minister of grace. And we're looking for those opportunities to tell our children about who Christ is and what He's done and the impact in their life and how He has set them free from sin, or how they can be set free from sin, and how even if they are, get them saved, see them become to know Jesus Christ, and after they've come to know Jesus Christ, see them be sanctified again by the person and work of Jesus Christ, see them be conformed to the image, see them draw closer to Jesus Christ, and you help them and you be an instrument. We're always looking for these opportunities. Unfortunately, these opportunities don't come at the most convenient times, and they don't come in the most attractive ways. These opportunities don't come with a gentle smile and a Bible in their hand. No, these opportunities come with a, he hit me. These opportunities come with a lie. These opportunities come with a punch to the face. These opportunities come with somebody crying really loud. These opportunities come with an eye roll. These are the opportunities that God is presenting to us to minister grace. And because, why is it these opportunities come in such difficult times? Well, it's because in these opportunities will come when your child needs God's grace the most in the midst of their sin. These opportunities will come when your child needs to be ministered with the grace of God most. And that's in the midst of their sin. So what's your first instinct? What's your first instinct when your child rebels? What's the first instinct when your child sins, lies, is selfish, kicks a sibling, rolls his eyes at you, rolls her eyes at you? What's your first instinct? Is it anger? Who gets angry? Ed? Teasing. Is it anger? Well, if it is anger, you're taking this personally. You're confusing your role with God's. You're the one, you think you're the one who's been offended. God is the one who's been offended, right? Psalm 51, David said, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned, right? You think this is about you. Don't confuse yourself for God. God is the one offended. Your role is to be an ambassador. An ambassador for Christ, a minister of grace. So don't confuse the roles. Remember, your role is to be a minister of His grace. Well, how many of you get frustrated? You get frustrated. Oh, right? Well, you may be getting frustrated, maybe because you're starting to think again that you're the agent of change. You're not the agent of change. Christ and God is the agent of change. Maybe you're frustrated because you're impatient. You're impatient with God. You're impatient with your child. Don't be impatient. Be faithful. Be faithful to the task that Christ has called you to in sharing the grace of Christ. Be as patient with your child and their sin as Christ has been patient with you and your sin. Well, maybe you just kind of let it go. I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole, right? Well, you're missing opportunities that God is presenting to you to minister grace, to shepherd your child's heart. Your child's sin, their blowout, their rebellion is not a crisis in parenting. It is an opportunity of grace. It is an opportunity of grace. So what does it look like to minister grace? What does it look like to be an instrument in the hands of God? Well, there's two parts to this. The first is tone. And we want to make sure that we are approaching the situation as a shepherd. And the best way I can illustrate this is if I was to go see Pastor Matt, maybe I did something wrong and I blew it. Now, I walk into Matt's office. How many of you would sit there for longer than 3 minutes if Pastor Matt was saying, "You, what are you doing? How dare you? I told you." We would be like, "Okay, I don't think I'm coming back to this one." We wouldn't expect a pastor to speak that way, right? To get me, maybe there's some situations that you got it to. I get that. You know, there are a few situations you got to get in their faith. But as a general rule, right, when a pastor is shepherding his flock, it's not done with a finger 33 centimeters from the nose, right? How does a pastor shepherd his flock? With gentleness, with patience, teaching. What's the First Timothy 3 in there? With gentleness, patient, teaching, right? Grace. So there's got to be a tone of graciousness when you're shepherding your child. But there's also got to be content, right? So the how is with a gentle tone. The what is the content. We minister grace by ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to our children in every situation. Every situation your child is experiencing, the gospel of Jesus Christ addresses that issue. Because every issue is a what? Every issue is a what? A heart issue. Every issue is a spiritual issue. Every issue needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to walk them through the gospel. And so what I do with my children, and this is can be a long process, and that's why it's important to be gracious with them, because they got to sit and listen to you talk for a long time, right? And try and get it in, as short as you can, but you need, and it's very fact specific. Usually, always, a sin, a blowout of your child is because the truth of the gospel is being denied in their heart. And so I walk them through. I say, "So, what were you believing about yourself? When you did that, what were you believing about yourself?" Maybe they were believing that they're the center of the universe. Maybe they were believing that their siblings were created to serve them. Maybe they were believing that they were king. Maybe they were believing that they could only be satisfied through that toy. What was it you were believing about yourself? What was it you were believing about what you did? Maybe what they did they didn't think was a sin. Or wasn't that bad? That's okay, just a little white lie. What were you believing about yourself? What were you believing about the act? What were you believing about what God has done for you, what Christ has done for you? Maybe they were believing that what Christ not only has done for you, what God has done for your siblings. Maybe they were believing that God loves them more than their siblings, and so they're entitled to that toy. Maybe they were believing that God isn't sufficient for them. Maybe they were believing that God is not enough to satisfy their desires, so they went outside of God's plan for them. What was it you were believing about what God has done for you? Maybe they were believing that I don't have any power to overcome the temptation to sin. I wasn't believing that he freed me. And I say, and what were you believing about God himself in that moment? that he's not the source of joy, that he's not the source of forgiveness, that he's not the king of the universe, that he's not whatever is very fact-specific. When one of my children get mad, usually the issue is it's because he thinks he's the king of the universe, and he's forgetting that he's not the king of the universe. It's God that is the king of the universe. And so he's mistaking his role. He's not believing Jesus really is the King of Kings, and it's his kingdom, it's his agenda that needs to be accomplished. And I say, son, it's God's agenda. He's the king of the universe. It's not your agenda. So they're not believing something about God. So we try and find what it is about the gospel they were not believing that we're denying, and then we what? We walk them through the gospel. We get the gospel applied to that situation. What does the Bible tell us about what you did? It was a sin. What does the Bible tell us about you? That I'm not the center of the universe. That I was created for a purpose, to glorify God. That I've been redeemed, that I've been forgiven, that I've been set free, that I have all I need in Christ, that I have a new identity in Jesus. We walk through it and applying the gospel to that specific situation. What does the Bible tell us about what God has done for you? That he died for me. He set me free from sin. He's forgiven me. He's given me a new identity. He's given me eternal hope. What does the Bible tell us about who God is? He's the King of the universe. He's the Savior. He's the Holy One. And we walk through the gospel and we apply it. The first step to redemptive parenting is that we need to shepherd our child's heart. The second step to redemptive parenting is being an instrument in God's hand. And the fourth step to redemptive parenting. Did I say fourth? The third step to redemptive parenting is redemptive parenting begins with your heart. It begins with your heart. Parenting is as much about your heart as it is your child's. You see, the sign of a great parent is not the child's behavior. Thank God. The sign of a great parent is not the child's behavior. The sign of a great parent is the parent's heart. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 again. Notice how verse 7 of chapter 6, the call, verse 7 is the call to redemptive parenting. Notice how that comes after. It comes after the parent's call to total heart worship and transformation. You see, the point is that parenting is not removed from your worship of Jesus Christ. Rather, parenting is an application of your relationship, of your worship with Jesus Christ. Parenting is not isolated from your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's one of the ways in which you live it out. How I parent and how I interact with my child must flow out of and in response to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This was, when I began learning how to parent, I would turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, the parenting verse of the Bible. And I said, okay, I'm coming to this verse. This is going to tell me all I need to know how to raise godly children. Verse 4, here we go of chapter 6. Verse 4, it's going to tell me all I need to know. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's it? Anything else? I got to need more, God. I got 5 kids. I need more than a verse. Help me, Lord. See, many of us come to parenting and we just look at chapter 6, verse 4. I got to raise them up in the Lord. I have no clue what that means, but I'm going to do it. But see, chapter 6, verse 4 isn't isolated. It comes after chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 flow out of and is an application of Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 can be summarized quite simply: God has saved you by grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is so rich. There's so much in there. He's lavished his grace upon you. He's done wonderful things for you. He's made you were dead. He made you alive. You're saved by grace. He's canceled the written code. All these wonderful things, setting you in the heavenlies. Amen. We can worship Jesus Christ for all eternity for the things revealed and described in chapters 1 through 3. Amen. And then we get to chapter 4. Turn with me to chapter 4, verse 1. And he says, now, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Christ, his marvelous work, God, so gracious to you, therefore now, walk in a manner of that calling. In verse 2, he says, okay, what's that look like? Walk in a manner with, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. And take that to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Make sure Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is dipped in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 and 3. And it's flowing out of Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. So here's my question for you. Is your parenting done in a manner worthy of your calling? Is your parenting done with all humility? Is your parenting done with all gentleness? Is your parenting done with all patience? Is your parenting done with bearing with your child in love? Yeah, neither is mine. Neither is mine. And I quickly realize something, and you should quickly realize something, that God is using your child to reveal your own heart. God is using your child to reveal your own sin and to reveal your own need for Him and His grace. Parenting is as much about your child's heart and God transforming your child's heart as it is God transforming your heart. Parenting is as much about your child's sanctification as it is about your sanctification. So I remember when I was in college, I used to carry a Bible with me wherever I went. I was single, living by myself, and I used to look in the mirror, and I used to think something. I'm a holy guy. I don't mess around. I read my Bible. You know, I'm a holy guy. And then I got married. And I realized I wasn't as holy as I thought, because all of a sudden I had to share the remote control. I had to compromise on what topping I was going to have on my pizza. You know, I remember one time me and my wife, we were early married, we wanted to take a Christmas picture. She wanted me to wear a vest, and I didn't want to wear a vest. And so we compromised, and I wore the vest. But I realized, you know, I'm not as holy as I think I am. I am selfish. I am self-centered. I am lazy. I don't live for others as I thought I did. And then I had children, and I doubted my own salvation. Because they realized, wow, I'm a much worse sinner than I am, right? And just as God uses the failures and sins of my child for me to minister grace to them, to show them their sin and to show them their Savior, God uses my sins and your failures in the midst of parenting to show you your sins and your heart and your need for Him. He uses your child to reveal your sin, your heart, your need for the Savior, and the need for His grace. And every time you've yelled in anger at your child for punching a sibling or for breaking the TV or whatever it is your child did that you yelled in anger, God was revealing to you your heart. He was revealing to you your idol. Every time you've shouted at your child because they've disrespected you or you talked back, he was revealing your heart of self-worship and pride. Every time you didn't speak the truth in love to your child, it's God revealing your heart to you. And when I look at my sins in parenting, when I look and I'm honest, the Holy Spirit, you know, convicts me of my sins in parenting, I echo Romans 7:24. Wretched parent that I am, who will set me free? But what does verse 25 say? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus sets me free. Jesus conforms me to his image. The single best tool God has used to sanctify me, and I believe one of the single best tools God will use to sanctify you, is your children. It is your children. God has used them to show to me my own anger issues, my own pride issues, my own laziness, my own wrong priorities. And that same grace, that same gospel, the same Savior, the same Jesus Christ who is at work in your child is also at work in you. That same grace that is available to your child is also available to you and for you. You see, Jesus is our great shepherd. He is our redeemer. He is the one who transforms us. He is the one who conforms us. And so in your failures as parenting, whether it be in just straight out sin or straight out, I don't know what to do, I'm at the end of myself, we need to go to the greatest parenting verse in the Bible. Do you know what the greatest parenting verse in the Bible is? It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is my favorite parenting verse. Speaks right to the issue of parenting. Man, when I read this thing, I think, Lord, this is what I need when I parent. Turn with me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And right before that, Hebrews talked about how Jesus is able, he understands the struggles, the temptations, and the weakness that you experience. He understands that. And that is why he is able best than anyone else to minister to us. Jesus is available to you. His grace is available to you. In your time of need, his grace is sufficient for you. He can redeem any situation, any parenting situation, he can redeem that. He can redeem you. He can redeem your child. He is enough, and his grace is sufficient for you. You know, we have seen the three keys to redemptive parenting. Redemptive parenting at its core is God using you to shepherd your child's heart while God using your child to shepherd your heart. And today, God is calling all of us to partner with him, to be a part of redemptive parenting, to be a part of his redemptive work as he transforms us. He transforms us all to be a kingdom of worshipers. And in this redemptive work, we all can be moms and dads of the year. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Steve, so much for that word from the Lord. And if you enjoyed that, would you say amen? Amen, amen. Well, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message this morning. You know, God gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for our sin, to pay the penalty for our rebellion against Him, to pour out His grace to us. He rose from the dead, and He's coming back. And the Bible says if you will trust in Him, you will be saved. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. And as important as our parenting is, as Steve pointed out, our parenting is to point to God's parenting, His love for us. And so I want to encourage you to do that. We're not going to have a walk forward invitation today, but if God is working in your heart and your life, you can just pray right now and ask the Lord to come and to save you, to redeem you, to change you, and to transform your heart and your life. We also, if you're online and you have made that decision, let us know, shorelinebaptist.org. Shoot us an email, and we want to talk to you and share with you about how you can learn more about what it means to have a relationship with God and to follow Jesus within your life. And so there's always the invitation to come to Christ and to have God forgive your sin and change your life. Well, let's go ahead and have a time of prayer here in just a moment. But let me just share with you, we're not going to pass an offering plate today. But if you would like to give to the Lord and in worship in that regard, we do have boxes in the back that you can place your offering in. You can give online. You can mail your offering in as a way to worship the Lord in that regard as well. So let's bow together for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this message from Your Word. And God, I pray that You would be transforming all of our hearts this morning, that You would be showing us Your great heart and transforming our hearts to look like Your heart. Lord, that we would have the mind that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself and became a servant and died for us. And Lord, that we would have that same heart for our children and for one another. And that, Lord, You would be using these opportunities to sanctify us, sanctify our children, our families. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today or listening online that does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, that they would turn to You today and they would rely upon Your grace, Your mercy, and Your gospel, Lord, today. So thank You for this time of worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.